You're listening to Channel U.
Millions of people have read the book The Celestine Prophecy, and now it's been made into a movie. We're going to talk about the movie and the reality of the Nine Insights from my perspective. Also, we're going to be talking about a new book that's out that may be just as important for us all. It's a book by Carolyn Jackson called Of a Mustard Seed. And what's it like to have a front row seat to a miracle? I've worked with people for many years now, and I've seen many miracles. So what's it like to be me? We're going to be discussing that this evening. Well, actually, I'll be discussing that this evening here on the BBS Radio Network. These items and many more, including news from Peru, all coming up. Don't go away.
Welcome to the mystery and magic of Channel U Network. Do you know that things aren't as they seem? Are you conscious of their attempted mind control scheme? Are you seeking others to create a team? Are you thirsty to think from a really clear stream? That's why you are here at Channel U. From the mysteries of outer space to spiritual healing, from the depths of the ocean to the heavenly ceiling, to the dreams that reveal your innermost feeling, close your eyes, breathe deep. We are connected to Channel U.
From the deserts of the Great Southwest, you're listening to Jerry Wills, Horizon to Horizon on Channel U, Internet Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Jerry Wills, and yes, I'm back from South America, from Peru. If you tuned in to a few of the previous shows, I think the two previous to this, and this took place last month, so you have to check the archives, you'll discover from listening to those that there were a few discoveries that we made and some phenomenal adventures. One of the shows was recorded at Lake Titicaca, and another of the shows was recorded at Machu Picchu. And I know how many people are interested in Machu Picchu, but I do believe that interest is going to skyrocket. This summer, this spring, there's going to be a new movie. You may have heard about it. It's called The Celestine Prophecy. I've seen some of the rushes for the movie, as I'm sure many of you have. You can tune in online and check it out at CelestineProphecyMovie.com or TheCelestineProphecyMovie.com. Anyway, do a Google search, find it. After having seen this and getting a few emails suggesting that there were some organizations around the Phoenix area, which is where I'm at now, that there were some previews, some sneak peeks at the movie that were going to be taking place. I contacted the distributors of the film, and our organization here, Earthways, is also going to be showing this movie the end of this month, the 31st of March and April 1st and 2nd. The seats have just about all been sold out, but if you're in the area and you want to see it, then please let me know as soon as you can. Otherwise, look for it in the theaters. The thing is, it takes place in Peru. And what a fitting place. Because of our experiences in Peru, I can tell you that I can certainly assure you that aspects of the Celestine Prophecy, where the insights are concerned, are quite valid. It certainly isn't rocket science when you read through the book and you see mentally all the images that are brought forth. You read through and certainly educate yourself into the interplay of the human experience, and it's really very well displayed within this book. I read it many, many years ago, back when James Redfield was selling these out of the back of his car, and that's when I first met James Redfield, and it was actually here in Phoenix when he came through that I got the book signed. Our trips to Peru have ever since been based on the Celestine Prophecy. And it's been phenomenally successful. And during the time of our journeys down there, like I've mentioned before, we've seen evidence that Celestine Prophecy insights are quite tangible. The first insight, second insight, all the way to the ninth insight. Now, I'm sure you're curious, as I was, about the ninth insight. And what does this mean? Well, basically, you get into a state of being that's so pure and so focused that you appear to start glowing to those who are watching, who are tuned in. But to those who aren't tuned in, you don't just glow, you just simply fade away. We've reproduced this a number of times in Peru, so I can assure you, it's a real thing. And being able to see this movie on the big screen is going to be quite exciting. I know, I'm thoroughly jazzed about seeing this. So I just want to put a heads up to everyone listening. The next show that I do in 2 weeks is going to be kind of a review about what the movie was like and what my thoughts are on the movie. Hopefully, it will help you to make a decision whether or not to go see it. Since I haven't seen it yet, I can't tell you, except I'm just really excited to see it. The journeys to Peru, you know, they were really quite fascinating. We have been going to Peru for the past 20 years, and the reason why we continue to go and continue to go is not because it's a money-making venture. Certainly we do take groups down there, and we do derive part of our income from this. But the reality is that we go down there, and every time we've ever gone, we find something new. We find something exciting. And this last round of experiences did not disappoint us. While we were down there, we found a place that the local shaman calls the Temple of Time. Now, I'm going to tell you how you can go see a video of this. It's just a very crude, rough-hewn video that I put together, videotaping on site. You'll also be able to hear the shaman. His name is Puma. One of the most extraordinary shaman that I've run into down there. There's only three or four that I think are just amazing, and he's the youngest of all of these. He has studied with some of the same folks that I've studied with down there. His age, I think he's about 24, 25. For his years, he is truly amazing. Puma describes the Temple of Time, a very, very ancient place that was destroyed by the Catholic Church because of what happens there. Watch the video. I think you'll find it quite entertaining and very revealing. Now, where do you find it? It's very simple. I'd like you to, after this program, I'd like you to go to jerrywills.com. That's jerrywills.com. When that page loads, you'll notice there are two columns, one on the left and one on the right. You're going to need a broadband connection to watch this. If I'm not mistaken, I put it up there in broadband. You know something? I'm not certain. So just give it a try. See what happens. Click on the right column. The right column is, a secret hot link. And that will bring up a player. It's the Real Media player. If you don't have Real Media, the Real Media player, in your computer, you're going to need to have that installed first in order to watch it. Now, the clip is only maybe 10 minutes long or so. It's not a very long clip, but it will show you exactly what I'm talking about. Just one of the many, many things that we've discovered on our journeys through Peru. Now, another thing that we've discovered is a large stone head. While you're on the same page, what you could do is go to the menu bar and click on Heaven. That's going to take you to a page where you'll see some avocados, and they're not unusual avocados for Peru and South America. For here, they're very unusual. They're probably the size of a melon. Very tasty, too, I might add. Anyway, scroll down that page. You're going to see a waterfall and a couple of shots of this large stone head that we found way back on the eastern slope of the Andes Mountains. This is one of the places that we're going to be taking folks this year when we go to Peru. That information will be available, again, on the same website. If you just look at the same menu bar, you'll see the word expeditions spelled with an X instead of an EX. Click on expeditions and you'll be able to go directly to a page that will direct you further. The trips through, they're always extraordinary, and they're made much more extraordinary by the people who come with us. I believe that there is a great deal of experience and growth that we can all experience down there. And with the release of the Celestine Prophecy movie, there are going to be quite a few who are wanting to go and see for themselves if this is true. And if it is true, what does it hold for them? You're going to find out if you go. It's like any other journey in life. You're not going to know unless you do it. And in that regards, it's a sort of pilgrimage, isn't it? There are a number of things we're going to be talking about during the show this evening. And I want to thank you for tuning in. And I want to thank Don of the BBS Radio Network for inviting me back to continue my broadcasts here. It's very kind of him, and I deeply appreciate the opportunity, and I know he does too. I would suggest that you bookmark the bbsradio.com website. Check out the other broadcasters who are here. I haven't listened to many of them, but the ones I've listened to are quite interesting. So I suggest maybe you check them out as well. The other item that I wanted to cover this evening, and I'll come back to Peru probably again in just a moment, because everything seems to tie in together. There's a book that is coming out. This book is by a woman who is now a good friend of mine. Her name is Carolyn Jackson. Before I tell you about the book, I want to tell you a little bit about Carolyn and how this book came to be. On a future show, perhaps the next show, I'll have her here in our studios, and she can tell you in her own words what I'm going to probably halfway botch up right now, but it'll be a lot more interesting hearing it from her anyway. Carolyn Jackson came to my facility about a year ago. She'd been looking for me for about 3 years, as I recall. You see, Carolyn's problem was that one day she just discovered that she had diabetes, and it was untreated, and she fell asleep, or, you know, passed out, really. She didn't fall asleep. She passed out, woke up in the hospital, and they said, your diabetes, you know, blah, 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 blah. She says, well, I didn't even know I had diabetes. Long story short, she took all kinds of medication and did all sorts of things to try and help it. And it left her quite disabled. Eventually, she could not move her right arm. It was not exactly frozen in place, but it hurt to move it. I'm sure there are those of you listening who either have experienced this or know someone who has. Carolyn was on morphine twice a day, and was like this for years. She had written a poem and sent it in to Oprah and developed a dialogue with Oprah over a period of time, and Carolyn wanted to write a book. She was quite a writer and decided that a book was a good idea, but she wanted to write a book that had some meaning, some significance, something that could potentially make a difference in the world. But she couldn't, because to type, you need both hands. She could only use one hand, her left hand, and she's right-handed. To cover her pain and her condition, she would often cradle her right arm with her left arm. She would shake hands with her left hand. And when she came into my facility to see me, it was after having seen me on TV, and she'd been looking for me for a while. I'll let her tell you that story. After working with Carolyn for about 45 minutes, she was able to raise her arm straight up above her head without any pain. Now, this is somewhat miraculous, I suppose. It was for her. She left that afternoon, waving her right arm in the air and tears streaming down her cheeks, while she was all the while laughing, and she scooted off home to recalculate what to do with the rest of her life, because this is the first time in years she didn't have this pain. So Carolyn finished the book, and it's quite good. I've read it, and I highly endorse it. It's called Of a Mustard Seed. It'll be on Amazon.com soon. It isn't in print yet. It's being taken care of. It's going to be translated into 10 different languages, perhaps more, from what I have been told recently. And it basically is a story about a man who decided that he would tithe differently than anyone had considered tithing before. And he was given an opportunity and a challenge to do it for a year and to see if that would make any difference. You'll have to read the book to find out what the details are about that specifically. And how do I figure into all of this, aside from obviously having helped her with her arm? Well, Carolyn decided that she was going to write a new character into the book, the only character that was not fictional. That character is me. So I think you'll find it quite entertaining to read. It is a book of hope, it's a book of joy, and it's a book of changes that can be made, that could be made, and perhaps should be made, that would help this world be a better place. Now, there's some talk about this book being made into a movie. Oprah Winfrey is involved in this book and everything around it. I have a feeling it's going to be quite a big deal in the months and the years to come. Perhaps similar to the Celestine Prophecy. Maybe not as big, but then who knows? Perhaps it'll be larger. Because the message in this book, it has such a good message, I just can't see how it wouldn't go quite far. So that brings us to a point where, you know, we've talked about Peru a bit, and we've talked about this book, Of a Mustard Seed by Carolyn Jackson. And both of these things kind of revolve around a journey of sorts, a personal journey. So in this next segment, after we take a short break, we're going to talk about a journey that's very personal, my journey. As I mentioned, helping Carolyn, you know, you can only, I'm sure, imagine what it might be like to do that kind of work to help others. I'm going to tell you a few stories of people that I've worked with, and I'm going to, probably for the first time in this medium, start sharing some of my personal thoughts. Sometimes these are things I just keep to myself that I never say to anyone else unless it's to Kathy or very, very close friends. So I'm going to talk about my personal feelings and how they impact the healing and what my philosophies are. I want to give you an inside look at me right after this.
Are you interested in forbidden archaeology? If so, after this program, visit Expeditions Magazine, where new light is shed on the forgotten past.
Do you really need to change?
You're listening to Channel U.
Hello, everyone. We're back. And, as promised, I'm going to tell you a few stories about some folks that I've worked with here for the past year or so, and also invite you to watch a movie that I put together. It's okie dokie, it's not great, but I think maybe you'll enjoy the people more than listening to me, so you might want to just fast forward and watch the people instead of me. That movie is available, again, at jerrywills.com. It's JerryWills.com. And what you'll want to do is go to the testimonials page. Once you're there, you'll see several different video selections, and you'll see one that's called, I think it's called Healer. I know, I made it, but I don't remember what the name of it is. Anyway, it's about 15 minutes long. It's a very large file. You don't download it, it streams, and it should be quite watchable, full screen. This is an experiment that we've been doing for quite a while to try and do full screen video like television. So go check it out. See what you think. Some of the folks that I've worked with in the past many years have had some very, very serious problems. And you hear about those. Well, maybe you don't, but sometimes you do. But there are those that have just not such severe problems that come to see me as well. People that have things for example, backaches, back pain, shoulder pain, pain in their hand, headaches that don't go away. You know, that sort of thing. What some of you don't know is that these are just as important as the ones that are phenomenal miracles, the ones that the person is either going to die or otherwise in very, very bad shape, and there's no hope for them. Every person that I work on is just as important as the next. The first story I'm going to tell you about involves a celebrity that I haven't told anyone except for close family members and friends. I haven't spoken about this to anyone. It's now been 2 or 3 years since this happened, and I think you'll all recognize the situation once you hear about it. I haven't said anything about this up to now because, you know, I tend to be a bit private with all this, and I've decided that for this program, I'm going to bring forward some pieces of information that are my own personal thoughts. My feelings, you know, it's kind of like you and I are sitting down having a cup of coffee and smoking a cigarette and just kicking back and revisiting old times. Oh, good heavens, did I say smoking a cigarette? Yes, it's true. Maybe I'll stop someday, I don't know. I was recently, and here we go, this is how it starts. I was recently asked by a fellow, his name is Larry. Just recently, he wanted to know, how is it, I don't understand this, how is it that, and he was being rather critical of me. He says, I don't understand this. You're supposed to be like a man of God, yet you drink coffee, you have long hair, you smoke cigarettes, and I've heard you cuss. How can you be a man of God if you do these things? And of course, you know, my take on it, whenever someone says something like this, and when I was younger, I'd probably stand up and say, hey, it's none of your blankety-blank business. But, you know, he was asking a question. He was asking for clarity, and I appreciated that. So, I decided to just let it ride. I didn't answer him. Not at that moment. But I've given it some thought, and tell you. And maybe this will help with, you know, if someone says something like this to you. First of all, for my personal relationship with God is my personal relationship. I don't look at other people and make judgments on them about that. Instead, I just figure that they're on their own path, doing their own thing. You see, that's one of the things that I found that happened within the church. And I'm not against churches. I'm not against organized religion. I'm not for it. I'm not against it. I'm ambivalent. I think that everyone needs to believe in something. But the first thing they need to believe in is themselves. So, if a person smokes, drinks, has, something they might say, you know, they might cuss. I don't think that there's any of us here that are walking on water. I haven't seen that yet. And for a person to judge another based upon their personal choices, and then make some decision as to whether or not they are or are not of God, based on their beliefs, their habits, or their conduct, as long as they're not hurting anyone else, as long as they're not, you know, there are always those folks that are out there that are beating their drum and saying, you should do this, you should do that. One of the things that I teach in my class is that if you want to get closer to God, you have to start thinking as God might think. It would be a good idea if you did. And how does God think, you might ask? Well, if you take a look at all the scriptures and you sort of dig into it, one of the first things you notice is that even if you've sinned, God still loves you. Even if you've done things against God, God still loves you. All you have to do is just say, you know, I'm sorry, I guess, according to some scriptures that I've read. But see, the point here is that it doesn't matter what you do, God still loves you. Wouldn't that suggest to you that God doesn't have any judgment? And Jesus said, you know, don't judge this person until you've been judged. Since you haven't been judged, you're not in any position to judge another. And this is right out of the churches, and I'm sure many of you understand and can reciprocate that concept. Yet, so often, you hear people, the ministers, you hear the televangelists, those guys are ripe, aren't they? they're telling you how wrong you are, and how right you could be, if you just abide by the concepts that they have espoused in order for you to find your divine place in heaven. In other words, they're judging you. And how many times do we judge others? Even in small ways. I like that guy's haircut. I don't like that guy's haircut. I don't like the way that person dresses. I don't like the way that person acts. You see, we're always so completely consumed with making value assessments on other people. And what is that all about? Well, it's all about the things that we don't like within ourselves, that we see within others, and we wish that we didn't have within ourselves. So I don't want to stand in judgment of anyone. But for this fellow to say this to me, well, you know, it caused me to stop and think and understand where he was coming from, and to kind of evaluate the nature of his comment. I thought it was important enough to put here on this show, because, yeah, it's true. I do these things. I never said that I was a saint. And, you know, if you're going to live on this planet, there are plenty of things to do that are a lot worse, so I guess I've chosen a few that are, you know, just sort of in the middle of the road. I don't judge smoking. I don't judge not smoking. A person does what they do, because that is what makes them happy. A good case in point is a fellow who came to see me. He was very unhappy. He said that, he saw me smoking. He says, oh, well, I didn't know you smoked. I said, oh, yeah, I do. I do smoke. I enjoy smoking, actually. He says, well, I used to smoke. I said, well, then why did you quit? He said, well, I quit because everyone told me it was bad for me, and so I stopped. I used to smoke a pipe. And he had a bit of a faraway look in his eyes. He says, yeah, I used to sit on the front porch when I lived back east and lived near the woods. And I sit there on my front porch, and one of the greatest joys I had was to sit on my front porch during the rainy season and smoke my pipe. Every time I smoked my pipe, I would reflect back on that. I said, so you moved out here and then you quit? He says, well, yeah, because it was socially unacceptable and people were telling me that it was bad for me and that I needed to quit. I said, so what do you believe? He says, well, I suppose they're right. I said, all right. So you're unhappy. Yes, I'm unhappy. I said, well, why don't you go get a pipe and get yourself some tobacco and smoke it? And all he could do was just look at me like, are you serious? And I said, listen, you just told me that's one of the happiest memories that you have, and look at you, you're a mess. You're depressed, sometimes angry. I said, what gives you joy? He says, well, I don't know. Isn't that a statement for many of us? So he left, and he came back, about a week later. And he says, you know something? And he was happy. He looked happy. He says, you know something? I did exactly as you suggested. I went out, I bought myself a pipe. He pulled it out. It was a corn cob pipe. He said, I bought some tobacco. He pulled that out too. He says, do you mind if I sit here and have a smoke with you? And I said, of course. Have a seat. And he sat down and tamped in the tobacco and lit it up. The tobacco smelled very sweet in the air. And he said, you know something? This is really all I needed in order to be happy. And I told him the lesson here is that we live in very complicated times. And if we listen to what version of happiness or correctness is that comes from others, it may not exactly match our own. It may instead be their version of happiness. And if we do what makes ourselves happy, then what are we doing? And why are we doing it? I said to him that he had taken away one thing that gave him joy. And this goes for all of you who are listening to this. If you take away the things from your life that give you joy, then what are you left with? So I suggest that you examine the things in your life that give you joy. And if you're not joyful, if you're not happy, and you don't have these things in your life, then I suggest that maybe you take a look at what's missing and try to figure out a way to bring it back. Because until you do, you're not going to be happy.
Are you seeking a secure method of emailing your friends and family without worrying as to whether your private mail is being searched by unauthorized software? Do you find programs like Carnivore and Echelon to be intrusive on your rights to communicate your private thoughts and ideas to whomever you want to read them? ED4 is the answer to your desires. It can be used on any Shockwave-enabled browser, and it's free. www.umedia.com/E4.html.
Being happy is really one of the things that we're all looking for. But another item that we all miss until it's gone, is that the right phrasism? Is our health. And, you know, I see a lot of folks who have really no problems. I see them around. Everything's going around just swimmingly for them. Everything's cool and groovy. And then the next thing you know, they've got the flu, or they've got a cold, or maybe Someone rear-ended them in their car. Anyway, their state of being has now suffered. And as soon as their state of being has started to suffer, now everything in their life is focused on that. What can I do to get back to that point that I was at before this happened? This being whatever, fill in the blanks. I'm sure you've done it, I've done it, I don't know anyone who has not done this. No one likes to feel bad. Our health is kind of an ambiguous and vague thing. We don't do much about it. We don't do anything. We just go ahead, we work, we do all the things we normally do in our lives. And we don't do anything about our health until something happens to it. And I find this to be incredible. How is it that we could be so forgetful? Every one of you listening to this has had, at some point in your life, something that isn't quite right. You've been sick. You've had the flu. You've stubbed a toe. You've cut a finger. Maybe you've had something even worse than these little cursory things. And you know what I'm talking about. As soon as something happens, you want to find a solution for it. Well, imagine being me for just a moment. And here I am, seeing these folks who were, you know, healthy, wealthy, and wise until XYZ happened. And now suddenly they're not feeling too well. There's something wrong, and they're looking for an answer. The reason they come to see me is specifically because they want to get back to where they were before this happened. That's just the way it is. And they're hoping on top of hope that I'll be able to assist them. Because no one wants to think like Carolyn Jackson. She was resigned to the fact, or to the concept rather, not the fact, but she was resigned to the concept this is what her life was going to be from now on. Morphine twice a day and lots of pain. The same is true for Dennis McBroom. You can read his testimonial on the testimonials page. You can watch him on one of the videos, a couple of videos. Being resigned to the concept that this state of misery is where you're going to spend the rest of your life, in my view, is hell on earth. And I'm sure in their view, it is as well. Now, in both of their cases, I don't know that there's much that they could have done to have avoided the problems they had. Their problems were similar, only because of pain and morphine, painkillers and so forth, but dissimilar because of how it happened for either one of them. And I've met people who've had cancer. I've met those who have AIDS. I mean, all these different things are basically events that happen in a person's life. Thank God it isn't for all of us, but it does happen, especially in these persons' lives. But I want to take you a step beyond all this, because in my personal view of why all this happens, first I'm going to address what I think about this kind of event in our life. And then I'm going to tell you about some folks I've worked with past this point. You know, in my view, there are two things that happen in our lives. One of these things is whatever it is that is going to bring us clear to God. And these events are events that I can't touch. You know, I work on a lot of folks, and not everyone that I work on is a person that walks away with a miraculous healing. Sometimes it takes weeks, sometimes it doesn't happen at all. And I, for years, was at odds with this. But the truth is, in our life, God has a plan for us. And I'm not trying to be preachy. We can substitute the word God for your higher self. There is a higher plan for you. And though it may be looked at as a type of destiny, perhaps, and I do believe there is a destiny involved. These events that happened brought them to a point to where they could have the experience, so they could become closer to God and have a greater and deeper understanding of their own existence. When these events were gone, at least the ones that I've worked with, and they no longer had the affliction, that changed their lives dramatically. And every person that I've worked with, it had a profound effect upon their lives. But there are those of us who have things happen that aren't part of our plan. So I see it as being two different routes that occur in our life. One, it's part of our plan. This is what we're supposed to go through. Maybe it's supposed to be dealt with in an intervention sort of way through someone like myself. Or maybe it's just going to continue on and on until they expire, and this is part of their plan. But the other route is kind of like when you're walking across the driveway without your shoes on, and you step on a tack. I don't think that there was any divine intervention in that. I don't think that that's part of your plan to step on the darn tack. I think it's just something that happened. And in many of our lives, and in many of the lives of the people that I work with, I see this. Things happen. And there's no reason for it. It just happens. Now, some folks try to find some divine meaning in everything. I don't know that that's a correct way to posture your thinking. I don't know that there is divine meaning in stepping on a stone and it, you know, causes you to flinch as you're walking across a carpet and you weren't expecting it. I don't think there's divine meaning in getting a splinter. And I don't think there's divine meaning in slipping and twisting your ankle. Sometimes things just happen. To me, that's very realistic. Trying to find deeper meaning in every action that occurs basically means you're not paying attention to the beauty around you. You're always watching for what everything means. And some folks have just gotten to the point where that's what they do. They try to find deeper meaning in everything. A lot of these folks in the New Age community. For me, I try to look at it in a very practical sense. Sometimes things happen, and when they do, you deal with them. Other times, it's a part of a divine plan. For the people that I can't help, I have to realize that this is what they came here for. And so I bless them, and I try to advise them. I know it doesn't comfort them, because they see the person just before them, or they know that a few days ago I worked on someone and they couldn't walk, or they couldn't see, or they were lying in bed about to die, and now that was Tuesday, and here it is Thursday, and well, there's nothing wrong with them. And when it doesn't happen for them, well, that's pretty sad for them. So I try to counsel them and let them know that this is their path to a greater connection to their Creator, whatever they conceive the Creator to be. That's all I can do. Now, the next part of this, past me working on them, is sometimes I see people who have problems that if they would just change a few things in their lives, their problems would be abated. They wouldn't need to come see me. And if they had just a bit of knowledge and acted upon that knowledge, they would gain experience and therefore wisdom on how to take care of themselves better. I'll give you a good example. I was working with a young gal about a year ago, and this gal, she was in pretty bad shape. She was quite overweight, depressed, and all of her joints ached. They said that she had a type of unusual rheumatoid arthritis. She was 20 or 21 years old. And she was brought to see me by her mother. So as soon as I put my hands on her and started looking around inside, what I noticed was that she had a lot of toxic material floating around in her body. That's why she was so heavy. You see, when you use something like regular table salt, that's poisonous to the body. You probably didn't know that. The synthetic vitamin D is poisonous to the body. You get vitamin D from the sun. Go outside. Well, this gal had started at about 13 using aspartame, you know, artificial sweeteners. She'd used all, not just aspartame, she'd used all number of and varieties of different artificial sweeteners for, well, 7-8 years. And she just got worse and worse. And so I told her, I can help you with this inflammation. I can help you with this pain. But you need to do a few things. So I told her, as I've told many people, you need to stop using artificial sweetener. You need to stop using milk because it's full of synthetic hormones. Did you know, just to get off the subject for a second, that a glass of milk, if you were to draw a line about, 10-ounce glass of milk, so you measure off about 4 ounces. In most states in the United States, that 4 ounces is just pus. I know it sounds gross, but it is. And the vitamin D that's in milk, the vitamin D is the same thing as you find in decon. It softens your bones. And that's just a couple of things in milk that aren't good. It also changes your body to a more acidic level. More acidic, greater chance for inflammation. So I told this gal, here are the things you need to do. And start using a couple of these different products. Things that will alkalinize your body. Things that will feed it nutritionally so you have the building blocks. And so forth. They left. They didn't take any of the products with them. Promising to come back a few days and pick them up. Because some of these things aren't cheap, you know. And I didn't see them again until about 8 months later, and I happened to see them at the store. And as I'm moving into the checkout lane, all of them going by, they had two cases of Diet Pop on the bottom, lots of chips and so forth. No vegetables, nothing good for them. And I'm not being in judgment of what they're doing, but the point of me telling you this is basically that if you want to change your condition, if you want to change your life, there are things you can do. And some of the frustration for me is when I work with folks and I give them advice, what they can do so they don't need to come see me, or what they can do to be a part of their own healing. They don't want that. They just want to be fixed, and once they're fixed, they want to go back to their way of life. And this, in many cases, is a way of life that brought them to a sickness that required doctors, and possibly, eventually, included me, looking for a miracle. Looking for something that would take them back to that point that they were at before they noticed that they were sick. For many of us, we don't notice that we're getting sick until our body has reached a point that it can no longer maintain the balance. And when that happens, things begin to spiral out of control. And as it spirals out of control and we become ill, maybe very rapidly, or maybe it happens over the course of several months, and we start noticing that things aren't the same. We don't feel the same. We don't have the same energy. Oops, there's a lump. What's that all about? Oh my God, I have to get a biopsy. Why did this suddenly just happen? If I'm not the first to tell you, then let me be the last to tell you that if you don't do what you need to do in order to stay healthy, then you're going to notice this at some point. Now, I'm sure you're scratching your head and saying, huh, here's a guy who smokes cigarettes and drinks coffee telling me that I'd better notice what I need to do to be healthy. Well, yeah, I am. I'm telling you. You see, when you are not aware of what you're doing, you are not aware of what is happening. Now, I hope that makes a bit of sense to you. Are you aware that you're breathing, or are you just breathing? Is it deep? Is it shallow? Are you aware of the functioning of your body in this moment? If you're not, then you probably aren't. Maybe you should make an assessment. I try to stay fully engaged and fully aware. When I have a cigarette, then I say a prayer. I'm fully aware of what I expect this to do to me. I'm fully aware of the water I drink, and I'm fully aware of the breath that I take. You know, it's easy to not be aware. And in some cases, you can't be aware all the time. But you try to be aware as much as possible. The thing is that even if I'm doing things that, in your opinion, I shouldn't be doing, that's no excuse for you, because it's your life. You need to do the things for you that make your life better and the outcome predictable, not based upon what someone else is doing. Because once again, you fall into that trap of judgment, using judgment against someone else to validate yourself. There's no growth with that. So don't. Just be aware of you. And be happy for what other people are doing. The only reason that I mention this is because I have so many who come to see me who get advice that could improve their lives in one direction or the other, who don't pay attention to it at all. All they're looking for is just the quick fix. And the quick fix is not enough in many cases. Like I've told a lot of folks, if you'll change just one thing in your life, you've changed everything. You may not notice it immediately, but you have changed everything. Now, if you change two or three things in your life, how profound. Well, folks, I hope I haven't sounded too preachy. I just wanted to relate some of my thoughts and inner feelings. I'll do that again in the future if I hear from you and find it's interesting. On the next program, one of the things that I thought that I would cover are some what they call common cures for conditions. I'm going to give you some information about that. I also plan talking to you about a couple of things that we have here. My wife, Kathy, has, over the past many years, been researching different herbs and botanicals and has come up with a couple of mixtures that I think you'll find quite intriguing. One of them is called Living Food, and it's a green drink that you put into juice or water, and it actually tastes pretty good. I drink it frequently. We're also going to talk about a few other herbs that are available here in this little apothecary that Kathy's created. She's really quite brilliant with her mixtures. I also want to bring you up to speed on one other item, something that I'd like you to research. This is going to be like your homework, if you will. I want you to look up something called Sangre de Grado. S-A-N-G-R-E, next word D-E, last word G-R-A-D-O. I'd like you to look that up and find out as much as you can find out about it. Not necessarily who's selling it, but I want you to find out about what it is and what it can do. Because on the next show, I'm going to address Sangre de Grotto. We have some of it here that we brought in from the jungle. And for you to know, just before you start researching this, this is sap from a tree that looks just like blood. It's just amazing stuff. So please go research that. On upcoming shows, we're going to be talking with authors and musicians and different individuals that I think that you'll find interesting. For example, Bill Foss is going to be one of the folks, I hope, to get him in here in the studio. He has a new album out. It's called Wingmakers. You'll find it available on our website soon. Bill gets the discs from the producers, I guess this week sometime. So as soon as we have it, we'll put it up on the Jerry Wills website as a featured item. You'll be able to order it online. It's a great album. I've heard it. I guess that's about it for now. So until next time, remember, we are going to try and be here every 2 weeks, and we look forward to your participation. I would love to hear from you. You can email me at this radio station, or you can email me at the following email address. It is J, just the letter J, at jerrywills.com, or go to the website jerrywills.com, and you can email me directly from there. It has been a pleasure to spend the past hour with you. I look forward to our future programs. If you have any suggestions for a show, please let me know. I'm interested. We're going to be going in all different directions, from forbidden archaeology to anything having to do with the human condition, like medical stuff, to music, to art, all of it. It'll all be eclectic, it'll all be unusual, and of course, as usual, if we find something odd in our out-of-the-way travels in South America, you'll hear about it here. And chances are I'll be broadcasting once again from South America at different times through the coming year, usually on location, and we're going to try to do a live broadcast from there. We've got a situation where I think we'll be able to do that. We'll also, we're thinking about doing video podcasts of some of our expeditions. You can be watching for that on the BBS Radio Network. Thank you all so much for your time. I look forward to hearing from you. And until 2 weeks from tonight, God bless you all, stay safe, and stay close to those who love you. Thank you and good night for now. Bye-bye, everyone.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Servicers Endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.